Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Domesticated Dude podcast. I'm Logan, your host on this journey. Today, I'm talking with my friend Brady. Brady is a physical trainer, and he trains people from 10 years old to 70 years old in any sport you can imagine. And one of the cool things about that is we get to talk about a little bit how training for different sports is different and then also the same. You still have your core foundations there, but then you can tailor it to the specific sport that you're training for. We also talk about his journey of starting his own business and what that was like for him. We also talk about the importance of being efficient in your lives, you know, planning things out, taking the initiative to really think through whether it's your meal plan or goal setting or whatever it may be to help you succeed in your life, being able to be efficient at that so that way you have more time to focus on what's important. If you like what you hear on the podcast, share it with a friend, leave us a review, and make sure to subscribe so you get the newest episodes immediately. Without further ado, here's my conversation with my friend Brady. Hope you enjoy. Brady, man, it's good to see you. How you doing?
Good to see you, Logan. Doing real well. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. I got my glass of whiskey over here. I'm set.
Set. Yep. I have my apple bubbly, and here we go, ready to rock.
Hey, I can respect that. Apple bubbly would be really good in my whiskey right now.
You know, it took me about 4 years to enjoy a water like this, but I tried it until I did. So, because I'm only a coffee water guy, I don't really drink any soda or anything like that, and I needed something else, and took me a long time, but now we're kind of hooked.
Nice. Yeah, it takes a while to find like your preference of sparkling waters because they're all so different. So I become quite the sparkling water aficionado. With I've never been a pop person either, and especially when Sarah and I started switching our mindset with our food, I was looking for nice fizzy drinks that I could have at the office and not necessarily full of caffeine or whatever, and found that the bubbly brand is actually my favorite. There's another one called Spindrift, which actually uses real fruit juice, so you get a little bit of carbs in there, but it just tastes delicious and it's nice and refreshing.
That's what everybody one of my friends told me, he said, you know, one of those seltzer waters tastes like, and I'm like, what? And he goes, it tastes like back on the old TVs when you had the black and white and it was all fuzzy and fizzy. Tastes like that. And then somebody in the other room yells, raspberry. I was like, I guess they kind of taste just bland with a hint of whatever you want in it. But if you find the ones that you like, then you're in them. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a personal preference, and it's an acquired taste, I found.
Yes, absolutely.
So what was your day like today, man? I know it's probably crazy at the gym with everything going on, but walk me through a typical day with Brady.
Okay, so a typical day in the life is a wake up with an alarm at, it depends on the day, but most days the alarm goes off at 5:30 a.m. And that's probably about average there. First session of the day, I have a 20 minute commute to the gym. I live in Northeast Lincoln. The gym is in Southwest Lincoln. And as most people that live in Lincoln know, there's not a good way to get across town at all. So it takes a little bit to get there in the mornings, a nice little drive to kind of clear the head on the way there. Depending on the day, I'll do 1 to 3 sessions in the morning, and that those are anywhere from a group or an individual, and mostly adults when it's that early in the morning. And today I had a break in my morning from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock, and then we had a meeting. We have a group meeting with all the trainers at 1 o'clock every Thursday, kind of check in, see how everybody's doing, answer any questions that anybody has. Today we went over ways to work on form that maybe some people didn't know what to do with them. So give some examples and kind of help just to continue that type of a thing every week. And then I had sessions at 2, 3, 5, and 6 o'clock. And those were all high school kids or younger, and in all different sports. So tonight I trained 2 soccer players, a tennis player, 2 tennis players, and then I had high school swimmers. So kind of all over the map. And then I get home, it's 7:42 right now. So I got home at about a little bit before 7. I had planned to make dinner because my life is a lot of planning what I need to do to be as efficient as possible through life is what I need to do. And so I had dinner ready to go, had it right before we jumped on here. And then after the podcast, I'll start kind of getting ready for bed and hope to be in bed and asleep by 10 p.m. And we'll wake up tomorrow at 5 and do it all over again.
Okay. All right. So being a trainer, you're up pretty early. It's a day filled of training, but all those trainings sound like they're completely different things, right? So you have your tennis players, you have your swimmers. Those aren't the same muscles, right? You have to use different muscles in different sports. And that's something to me, I never really noticed until I started playing tennis. Because I would always play baseball, softball, and now you throw tennis in there. And it's like, oh, well, I can just go play tennis. It's fine. And then you wake up the next day and you had muscles that you never knew that you had before. And it really opened my eyes like, oh my God, like we use different muscles for things that we didn't think about. So what's it like for you as a trainer on the other side of that, making sure that you're tailoring those workouts for your clients to making sure that you're hitting those right spots?
So I think to maybe make it as easy as possible, you can break almost every session. It doesn't matter who it is, or this is kind of the way that I think about it. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be my youngest client at 11, could be my oldest client at 73, and then all the athletes and age ranges in between. We want to do some sort of an upper body push. It's like a push up, an upper body pull, so a lat pull down, a hinge or a squat, and a lunge movement. Those, any of those interchangeable, and then some sort of a carry, like a farmer carry. So outside of those basics, which high school athletes and middle school athletes, they all need to hit their basics. Their body is going through growth spurts from the time they hit, 13, 14 years old. They're starting to grow. So how do we connect their mind to their body? How do they move properly? So you need those basics. Those are your foundation. And then off of that foundation, you look at sport-specific movements. So tennis players need to be able to move laterally very well. That's what they do across the baseline, and then hit with some sort of rotational power. So we work on swinging our hips through that sort of a thing. Swimmers are, believe it or not, they're an explosive athlete. They're going to come off the blocks hard. And then the swimmers that I have, they don't really swim distance, so they are in sprints. So we need to make sure that they're able to get off the wall, push hard off the wall. They need to get out of the blocks fast and then be able to explode through something quick. A race, I'm not even sure how fast a race is, but they're not that long when they're a sprint. So you don't need to have an endurance that can last you 5-6 minutes in the pool. You need something that can last you 1 minute, and that's what you're working on. So the training can be very, very similar, but then you have those little intricate details in it that you're working on power. So a broad jump will help those swimmers get off the block. A med ball throw into the wall as hard as you can will work those tennis players through rotation. And then the cool thing is with all the adults that I train as well, I can take some of those things and use them. I'm not going to have them be jumping around all the time, but we can use all those tools the same way that we use for the kids, because as an adult, you need to train as an athlete as well. So I believe that when I train, my foundation is similar for everyone, but then it's always tailored to the population that I'm training.
That makes a lot of sense. And I can speak to that and back you up on that, because we trained together for a little while too. And when I think of a personal trainer, I think of somebody who's going to come in and help me lift heavy weights and be this bulked out guy. But that's really not your philosophy. That's really not the path that someone should be thinking about, right? At least from what I understand, you want to make sure that you are doing what you can for your joints and doing things for those secondary muscles. So you can lift, but the goal is not to lift as much as you can unless you are a specific power lifter. Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. Yeah. And especially when you get to be, we're not old, Logan, but when we get to be past 21, most everybody out there, unless you go to play professional sports, their athletic career is over at 21. So how do you look at your training in a way that is going to benefit you the most throughout the rest of your life? I think it's awesome that people will go out and do wild things like run 100-mile races and go to CrossFit competitions and all of that stuff. But most of the people that I am seeing are people that, in my adult population, they're people that have things that they need to work on anyway, mobility issues throughout their hips, their shoulders. You know, we're in an age, especially right now with COVID going on, where we're sitting at a desk doing Zoom meetings and you have tight shoulders, your neck is forward, you know, our hips are tight because we're sitting down all day. So how do we address those issues? If we address those issues and provide some mobility, then now to how do we provide some stability in those areas as well? So our shoulder blades and working on that in our hips and making sure that those are stable. And then we can add all the weight on top of that. So that's why our warm-ups were the way that they are. They're tailored to grooving certain patterns, to moving through ranges of motion, and then we can add weights and, like I stated before, just kind of have a foundation. And then, you know, once you get into that stuff, then you set your own goals to whatever you really want to accomplish. And kind of what I tell people, adults, when I first get them into the room and we have a consultation, is my thought process when we go into a training session to begin with is that I want you to be able to move to the best of your ability at 80 years old. So short-term goals are awesome, great, but it's not the end-all be-all. So a lot of people can get frustrated on their own fitness journey, but if you can take a 30,000 foot view at your journey in general and realize that I'm doing this for 30, 40 years down the road, so that, you know, when I have kids, I can chase my kids around and be healthy for my kids. When my kids have grandkids, I can be there for my grandkids. If you can look at those things as your goals, as your long-term goals, then fitness becomes a thing that, you know, it's okay, well, how do I plug and play with all these tools that I have? And then you move from there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You want to be able to play the long game, like anything else with your finances and everything else. It's, you know, you can't just think of the short term. You have to have that end goal in mind. And what are you really working towards? And I think a lot of times we get lost, right? We get our tunnel vision on and we're looking at tomorrow and next week when we're not really thinking about 10, 20, 30 years down the road. I think that's something that's really important that we can all kind of take a step back and think about with everything in our lives. It's trying to make sure that we have a plan moving forward. Brady, where did your passion for fitness come from? I know you've been doing this for a while. How did it all start for you?
Well, I was an athlete in high school and I went on to play college sport. I went to Iowa Western Community College, go Reavers, and played soccer. And my second year at Iowa Western, I blew out my knee. So I was third practice of the fall camp and it was our third practice of the day. And I tore my ACL, my MCL, and my meniscus, and the old unhappy triad. And it was bad. It was a tough recovery. I don't wish that feeling on anybody. So when people will go through something like that now, I really, really, really sympathize with them. But I moved on from Iowa Western and transferred to Northwest Missouri State. And I had two roommates, my buddy Cody and my buddy Kyle, who are both, one is a physical therapist now, and then my other buddy Cody is going to be an anesthesiologist. And so through them, I really give them a lot of credit in helping me, because what I had done is what I think a lot of people would do, is you think that you need to protect yourself. And so I wasn't exercising anymore. I was trying to protect my knee because I was thinking about, you know, the long term, like, well, I don't want to have to get a knee replacement. I don't want to have to pound this thing in a submission. It doesn't feel great. Well, I got to be the heaviest that I'd ever been. And I was living a college lifestyle, just like, you know, most people do. Caught a picture of myself. I was standing sideways and I caught a picture of myself and I was like, boy, I got to do something. So I started working out with my roommate, Kyle. He played basketball at Northwest. And we just hit it hard for a whole summer. And throughout that summer, I lost weight. I got stronger. And then to my surprise, my knee started to feel way better than it had in months after I left Iowa Western. And throughout that time, I'd kind of was waffling on really what I wanted to do after college. I was a biology psychology major. And I got a internship at a community center in Maryville. It's kind of like why they run all their youth sports and stuff out of that. And through that internship, I shadowed a personal trainer. And I was like, hey, this is something that I could do. So that's kind of where it started, was about that year and a half where I kind of fell in love. I've always been interested in the body. I've always been interested in athletics. I've always been interested in how people move and how it's so fascinating and what we can and can't do with our body and the limits that you can push yourself. And so that right there is about where it started for me. And so that was I graduated in 2013 and have been doing it ever since.
So when you were rehabbing and all of that, I know people can be in a dark place during those times. What were some of the things that you learned about yourself during that recovery time that maybe you look back on now and you're like, man, I know that situation really sucked, but I'm stronger now because I went through something like that. Do you have thoughts like that?
Yeah, I think when you go through something like that, and I know that doing what I do now with high school athletes, and college athletes too, I think a lot of people base their identity around that. So, you know, I'm a college soccer player. Well, really, you're not. You're Brady Greer, who is a human being who happens to play college soccer. So when that's taken away from you in a second with, you know, all I did was plant and cut, and then the season's over, and now there's really, you know, what do I do now? How do I view myself? How do I figure out who I am as a person? Because I've attached myself to this thing, and that's not truly what it is. So I don't know if I learned a lot about myself in that moment, but I definitely understand now better than I did at that time things about myself that in that moment that I wish that other people, if they had a support system, that could kind of help them. And I think there's a lot more resources out there today than there ever has been for stuff like that. So,
oh, for sure. I mean, you think about the communities that are being built every day online. I mean, even with all this COVID, with the COVID situation, you know, I've talked to more people, whether it's through the podcast or doing poker nights or, you know, just doing a hangout. I've talked to more people that way through my computer than I have in person for the last, 6-7 months. And I think it's really important for people to know that if you're in a dark spot, if it's an injury or just going through something, it's okay to reach out to people. It's okay to reach out to your friends, and you know, your friends are going to be even more mad if you don't reach out to them and ask them for help. You know, it's something where I think sometimes we get too caught up in that and we're not realistic, and we just shut down. And that happens to adults now. I mean, you think of people who are so immersed in their jobs, where it's kind of what you were saying, where they think of themselves as, well, I do X, Y, and Z, so that's who I am. Well, no, you are Logan Tuttle, you're Brady Greer, and then this is what you do for your job. Right. So it's kind of having that disconnection between what you do and who you are.
Absolutely. And I think it's kind of right now with what we're going through with COVID is putting a lot of people in places they've never been in their life. I think a lot about extroverts and how we've been through, you know, at the beginning of this thing, we couldn't go out, we couldn't go do anything. We're still discouraged to go out and do those things. And so those people that really get energized off of being around other people have probably felt some anxiety, some sort of depression. They don't even know what it is. So it's kind of what you said, you know, don't, those people need to realize that they can reach out to their own people. But I think it's important for us too, to be intentional with reaching out to people that maybe we haven't talked to in a little bit, and hey, how you doing? And those things can really, really, really help people a lot, especially right now.
Yeah, for sure. Just a text. Hey man, thinking about you. Hope you're doing okay. Just to let them know, hey, I'm, you know, you're on my mind, thinking about you. Yeah. I think that's important. You graduated from Northwestern, Northwest Missouri State. And then it wasn't too long after that that you started your own gym, right? It was a couple of years in the making, and you kind of went out and did your own thing for a little while.
Yep. So I moved to Lincoln in 2014, and I worked at a couple of different gyms in town. And then I kind of took a break. I went into staffing. I was working at a staffing agency in town, and we were placing people for jobs all the way across town. So it was kind of the same thing. I think a lot of people experience this, but when you need something to fall into place for you, you feel like you're in kind of, I always call it like a limbo of life. Mm-hmm. And when you need something to fall into place, it usually falls into place for you. I was in that spot, and it had been about a month, and my good buddy Tyler, shout out to Tyler Kennecke, he always sat next to me, and we used to just talk back and forth, and really, really inspiring guy, like works really, really, really hard. Lucky to have a couple of those people in my life that I can look up to that just work hard at everything that they do. And opportunity came along from a chiropractor here in town. They were starting a new space, and they're going to put a gym inside of this. And it was about 700 square feet, so it was just a studio, but they wanted me to be a personal trainer inside of their gym. I'd long thought when I first started training that it would be a great business model to team up with somebody like that, because in my eyes, those things go together, right? Mm-hmm. You have a chiropractor or a physical therapist for that matter, and what they're doing is mostly giving you rehab exercises so that you can get better, feel better with whatever injuries that you've gone through. Most people that go through some of those things also could probably work on their overall fitness as well. So I got approached in, it was December of 2016, about being a trainer for the gym. And by April 1st, 2017, I had opened up Prime Fitness and was off and running. And I think the thing that drove me the most to do it, two things. One, I knew that I would always regret not trying. It was something that was sitting with me. One of those things that I know many people can relate to that makes you sick to your stomach, but it's like an excitement, and it keeps you up at night. And when you have that fire, you know, you can't ignore that. So that was one. And two, there was something both terrifying and freeing about opening your own business and being the own employer of your own business, because everything is on you. There's no excuses. There's only accountability. If I didn't get anybody to come into my gym, I had nobody to blame but myself. And so that was very, very, like I said, kind of freeing and terrifying at the same time. But those were the things that really drove me to do it. And it ended up being really, really good for me.
The terrifying aspect, you know, you kind of have to come in day one with no book of business, I'm assuming, or a very small book of business. You're getting referrals from the chiropractor, but you had to go out and hustle, and you were hustling that whole time. What sort of things did you learn about yourself through that process? It was kind of shit or get off the pot time, right? You had to kind of go out and do it. Like you said, you didn't have any excuses. So what was that like for you? What was, what was your process when you went through all of that?
Well, I was lucky that the chiropractors helped me quite a bit. They kind of pointed me in some directions of things to do. I'm not from Lincoln. I'm from Harlan, Iowa. So I don't really have, and at that point, I didn't really have like a strong base of people, what we would call like a power base of people to hit up for referrals or even your network to reach out to. So they were in networking groups. That was probably the first thing that I did for myself that was real, real positive. That's how we met was yep. I went and I took a visit to, at that time, almost probably half of the BNIs that were in town. And then I had visited a couple PNGs. And so I signed up with our PNG group, which has been a blessing. You know, you meet a bunch of people that are great in different industries across town. And then that was something good for me. Other than that, as far as business was concerned, I did a lot of walk-ins to businesses and just like handed out business cards. And you really got to swallow your pride. Like I've never been one to be a salesman. I've never thought of myself as a salesman, but if you really boil it down, I mean, that's what we're doing is sales. So you have to be able to sell yourself. And so that's, even if you're not confident in walking into this place and how you feel, put on a face and walk in there and do it. Talk to them, let them know what you can do for them. And, you know, half the time they're probably not going to give you the time of day, but every now and again they will. And then when they do, you know, you're prepared for it. So that was good. I really focused in on how I wanted to train. Being in the chiropractic office was awesome. I have a way different outlook on fitness than I did prior to that. More of what we talked about at the beginning here, of just like a preventative fitness. So how do we warm up properly? What are some exercises that we can include that are going to stabilize joints and muscles, but also challenge you in a way that you didn't really know? You know, we don't have to pick up 150 pounds above our head. We can do some scap exercises and really strengthen those areas first. And then we can pick up half that weight and be very, very effective with it. So those were some blessings that, you know, that came my way by doing it myself. And they're also very challenging at the same time. But those were probably the things that I started with that kind of hit hard for about a year. And then right at about 8 months, I kind of started to see that work pay off.
That's awesome, man. I bet that's just an incredible feeling to know that you were the one who built this up, right? You did all the work, you laid the foundation, you hustled, you went into businesses, you did all of that. And then it started to peak and you know, you're starting to see the fruits of your labor finally pay off. But at the same time, I could feel like it was probably really taxing on you, right? Because that's all that you did 24/7, right? That you had to hustle, no days off. You were the only employee. So a lot of that burden was on you too. So how were you able to kind of balance that out as you got going?
I think I probably lost my balance at, to be honest, by the time, spoiler alert, by the time I left doing my own thing, I had definitely lost it, had burnt myself out. You know, those, I kind of look back at those days right now and I don't know how I was, you just do it because you have to do it. But I was waking up at 4 a.m. My first class of the day was at 5. I would do 2 or 3 classes in the morning, train 3-4 hours during the day. I also helped with some of the things at the chiropractic office around there with rehab exercises and things like that. And then I had my classes at night at 4:35, 36:30. So I'm getting done at 7:30 at night, driving home. It takes about 15 minutes to get home, eating dinner, packing my bag for the next day, and basically laying down to do it again. And if you're doing, you know, at 9:30, if I'm lucky to be asleep by 9:30, then my hours of sleep are 6.5 hours of sleep. And I was never falling asleep by 9:30. So you're always burning the candle at both ends. And it just got to be a point where after doing that for probably 8 months, where I was on that schedule, I could just feel myself. I didn't really enjoy what I was doing every day anymore. I didn't have that drive to get better, to continue to read, to educate myself. And I mean, it definitely showed. I've had clients that I've kept around for a long time that have like, yeah, you were just not, you know, you just weren't, you didn't look like you're having a good time. And that's half of, you know, people pay you to come and do exercise, but they also come to have a relationship with you too. And if you're not having a good time, then they're probably not having a good time either. So it definitely was taxing. And I mean, there's a balance to be found in there. I think I put a lot on my own shoulders, and most people do that. But yeah, there's gotta be able to find some way to keep yourself healthy and to find things that you like to do too, and to continue doing those things.
And it seems like now you're able to kind of check your work at the door, right? You're able to kind of come home, unwind, relax a little bit. Sure, you still have to do some research for your different clients because they play different sports or different ages. So have you found, now that you're with this gym, are you more energized because you're able to kind of sprint during the day? And then, you know, once that sprint is over, then it's Brady time, and you're getting back to being yourself. Is there that balance?
Absolutely. And I think a couple things happened when I made the move. So I'm at Kratos Performance and Fitness now, and a couple of different things. I backed myself into the sports performance world. I think I kind of look at my training career as a, you know, the game Trivial Pursuit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they have the pie pieces that you go in the circle, right? And so I've done boot camps, I've done adult classes, I've done senior classes, I've done rehab work. And then the last pie piece was sports performance. I never really worked with youth athletes. And so the opportunity came to join over at Kratos, and it was right about that same time, same kind of deal. I was feeling like I either needed to make a move or take a step back because I didn't like my health at the time. I wasn't having fun anymore. And they kind of approached me into coming over and joining them. And so I took it and ran with it. And so a couple things, it's been great. It's been over a year now. I joined in August of 19. So a couple things that happened that I've noticed for sure is I'm getting more sleep. And if I'll preach this forever, is your sleep is one of the most underrated, most important things that we can do for ourselves. If you're not getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night, you're way underdoing it. And I know that people think that they can go and be healthy without that, but that's how you recover mentally, physically. That changes so much about your hormones and your mood that you need to be getting that sleep. So now that's a priority. I have a balance where I don't feel like I need to be up doing stuff all the time. Even though I get up early, it's like, okay, well, tonight I need to be in bed 9:30, be asleep. I'm not going to probably get a full 8 hours, but I'll get 7. And that's, you know, on the weekends when I can get more, I take advantage of that and get more. The other thing that have happened have been a great supporting cast. I didn't know that I missed it, but I definitely missed being able to bounce ideas off of people. Hey, what do you think about this? Why are you doing this? What do you do when you have a client who can't get into a proper deadlift form? How do you help them? What are some ways that I'm running out of ideas? How can you help? Those things are great. And then, you know, being around people that enjoy their job, because realistically, we're big kids. We're running around a gym having fun, you know, we're throwing balls, we're sprinting with them, we're doing things like that too. So when you're around a bunch of people who love what they do, it's infectious, and you get up in the morning and you're excited to go into work. And if you have something that is like that, that you can treat as fun and not a job, it makes every single day a lot easier.
Yeah, it's that collaboration and that partnership that really does help a lot of things. You know, I always feel like I do my best work when it's part of a team. And when it's just me solo, it's not as fulfilling. But when you have a team and people around you who are supportive of you and who want the best for you, you know, that's, you can't replace that feeling. And so I'm sure it's a lot different than when you were by yourself doing your own thing. It's like, hey, yeah, this is great. I'm doing a good job, but I don't have anybody to share this success with. So that's a really good lesson there that you picked out.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good. I mean, I love being there. I love the people that I work with. I love how broad of age ranges I have, from 11 to my oldest being 73 and everything in between. So my day is, you know, never the same. No training session is the same, and you get a lot of variance, and it's been a very, very positive change for me.
Yeah. It seems like you're a lot, you're happier, and that stress is just off your chest.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Brady, you mentioned earlier that you try to be as efficient as possible in your life. Is that a product of having to, you know, when you were building your business, going to bed at 9 o'clock, waking up at four o'clock in the morning, you had to kind of plan every piece of that, of your day outside of work. Are you still doing that now? Are you still able to take those, some of those lessons and apply it now, even if you have some extra time after work?
Absolutely. I think, probably thank my mom for a little bit of my OCD can't stop moving. She's a great woman, but that woman does not know how to sit down and relax, man. hopefully she listens to this, and mom, sit down and relax every now and again. But yeah, I think that I carried a lot of that stuff with me. A lot of the things that I learned were time management. You know, if I have 2 hours free in the middle of my day, what can I be doing in those 2 hours that are going to be the most beneficial? Do I need to write programs so I don't have to write them when I get home? Do I need to run some errands, go to the grocery store? Sometimes it's nice to have that open gap. Like, I just went to the DMV last week in the middle of the day. 2 weeks ago, I went and voted before the lines got so long in the election commission, and those sort of things, to be able to do some of those things in the day. So just being strategic with what I want to get done, and then how do I want to do it? And then it does overflow when I get off of work. There's things that I need to do to make sure that I can be ready for the next day. So planning that out, making sure I don't wake up and have to scramble, or what I feel is scrambling, just kind of always being ahead and being, you know, proactive instead of reactive is the way that I look at it. And then of course, when it comes to the weekend and I have more time, downtime, then do house projects and try and work on stuff around the house, try and find some time to, you know, the summer, hit the golf course and find some things that you like and enjoy, and still be able to do that stuff without being stressed and thinking about, you know, oh, I should be doing this instead. But really, you need to have that balance. So, and I learned that.
That's one thing that I've found that's been really beneficial, is being able to plan out meals, plan out different things like that around the house. Because I feel like if you leave it up to me, and I didn't used to be much of a planner. Sarah has really helped me in that process. And some of these other things that I've done in my life have really helped me learn those skills. But it's like, meal planning is number one, right? You have to, if you don't have a plan for meal prepping, you're just going to do the fastest thing, the easiest thing, and that's just not going to be good for your body. So if you're able to plan that out, I think that's one thing that Sarah brought with our lifestyle change, when we changed the way that we ate and all of that, being purposeful about planning that out. That's really helped us. And I think that's something that, especially now when we have a little bit more downtime, we're able to kind of think through that. Okay, well, what are we going to have this week? What are we going to have next week? Putting in the grocery order, picking it up. I mean, just being able to do little things like that really do go a long way. So that way your grocery shopping is done. You don't have to worry about it. So yeah, I can really relate to trying to be efficient. I'm not nearly as efficient as I should be, but I'm working on it. And I think that's, you know, that's the main thing, is planning stuff out. I have a planner, which is something that I never thought I would say 10 years ago. But just like taking those small steps. And of course, I got one of these fun planners that I got at Barnes & Noble. It's called Carpe Fucking Diem. And sorry, Brady's mom, if you're listening to this. It's just got little notes in there. It's like, it's a motivational planner. So it's got little quotes in there to help you keep going. And hey, set some goals. What are you going to accomplish this month? You know, those types of things. So being able to take a step back from that day to day and really think through what am I going to accomplish this month? I think that's really helpful for everybody.
Absolutely. By the way, you two look great. I haven't said that today on the podcast, but you two look great. So we haven't seen each other in person, but man, looking good, dude. So proud of you. That's pretty cool.
Oh man, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's been crazy. I never thought that I would get to this level. Now I got to keep it off. And that's been really hard because like, oh, well, I can make cookies because we're using alternative ingredients and they're healthy. Well, no, they're not. They're healthier, but not healthy. Now that it's cold outside, I can't go on my walks as much before work. So I'm trying to adjust my switch here and think of some other ways that I can still be active. And I think that's tough in the wintertime. It's starting to get cold now. I don't have a lot of room in the house to be active. So I'm trying to think through some of those things. Do you have things that you do at home to help you stay active, even if it's cold outside?
I'm lucky enough to have owned my own fitness business. So I've acquired quite a bit of fitness equipment.
Touche.
So I have a leg up on most people. But I think that there's some good things that you can do out there utilizing YouTube among anything, like everything, like, you know, doing some at-home yoga stuff or finding some at-home, you know, the Beachbody app is great for things like that. Doing some things like that are fantastic. And if it's not that, there's, you know, anything that you can do to get up if you're working at home for 8 hours a day, setting an alarm for every hour to get up and do 5 squats, 10 push-ups and like, you know, walk around for a little bit is good to get your heart rate up, to not be stuck there. Teach yourself some stretches. You know, we went over all of our, when we used to train together, the hip flexor stretches and the stretches to open up your chest and all that stuff. Get up, knock that out, you know, 5 minutes out of 8 hours of a day equals 40 minutes at the end of the day. So you have some time that is accumulated over that, and then you're not stuck sitting all day. So I know winter is the tough one, especially this year. If we're not going to be able to go out and do a whole bunch of stuff anyway, then you're going to have to start getting creative for sure.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it. 5 minutes every hour. I mean, that's nothing. You do that at work anyway. Hopefully take a step away from your computer and kind of reset your mind a little bit. One thing that I've found too, I found this app called Balance, and it's a meditation app. And for some reason, because of, I think it was Mental Health Awareness or Is Mental Health Awareness Month or something, Apple, they're not a sponsor. Got to say that right away. They're not a sponsor or anything like that. But they sponsored.
If you want to, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening from Balance, I would gladly take you as a sponsor. But anyway, what they did was they gave you a year subscription for free. And so it's this meditation app. They have all these different types of meditations you can do. They have one for the morning, the afternoon. Sarah and I did one at night the other night to try to help us fall asleep. It was a 10-minute meditation and we were out in 2 minutes. It was unbelievable. We woke up the next day. We're like, wow, we feel amazing. I know it's kind of weird to say that out loud to do meditation, but I really do think it helps, especially with all the stress and everything going on, no matter what situation you're in. If you can close your eyes for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and just focus on your breathing, you're going to wake up and you're going to be ready to kick some ass. So that's my little plug for meditation.
And I will second that. A little on the anxiety depression note, I'm not too proud to say that I've seen a counselor and have for about 2 years. And it's just, it's great to have somebody that isn't in your life per se. They're, you know, your friends, your parents, they're always going to be in your corner. So they're going to give you great advice, and your best friends are going to give you the best advice that you need to hear. But to be able to say that to somebody that has really no ties in your life and to get some feedback is great. And right now these times are wild. Nobody's ever had to deal with this in our lifetime. So the anxiety and the depression is real. So if people want to get help or think that they might need to talk to somebody, go do it. I recommend it highly. But the person that I went to see had taught me how to meditate as well. And so through his mindfulness meditation practice, that was how our counseling sessions would go. So we would talk for a while and then we would meditate. And then I had developed, and I've fallen off of it, and I'm trying to get back into it, just a routine of always 10 to 20 minutes a day of sitting and then either doing a guided meditation or something to bells and really focusing on the breath. And I think that what is probably the biggest misconception about meditation in general is that people think, well, I can't focus for 10 minutes. Well, that's not the point. The point is to realize that you have lost focus and to bring yourself back to that focus. So using your breath as an anchor and focusing on your breath and focusing on your breath, and it's, oh, I'm hungry. I want to have a piece of pizza. Oh, I recognize that I have drifted off in my thought. Now bring myself back to my breathing. And that practice of doing that over and over and over again is what is calming. And there are plenty of studies out there that show that it is very, very beneficial for you.
Thank you for sharing that with me and for all of our listeners. I think a lot of times we get too proud sometimes to take that step and to go talk to somebody. But even right now, I mean, I would assume I'm choosing my words carefully here. It's not easy, not easier than it ever was, but the access is probably better than it ever was, because now you can meet counselors online or over the phone. You don't have to take that time, go drive and sit there. You're able to kind of do that over the internet. I would highly encourage that. And that's something that I've been thinking about, you know, just not necessarily because there's specific issues or anything, but just to have that, like you were saying, just to have that sounding board, just to have that unbiased opinion in your life and that unbiased voice and that kind of calming voice in your life. I think we could all benefit from something like that.
Yeah, I never walked away from a counseling session and thought, what a waste of time. Every single time, I might have gone in there with nothing to say and then walked out of there feeling like I was walking on clouds, just like, wow, we might have just talked for a whole hour about whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. And then just being able to have a sounding board and then to come away with some piece of advice to focus on going forward, super beneficial. So if anybody's on the fence about it, I mean, you don't have to be depressed or anxious to go see somebody. I mean, I don't think that I was there, and I definitely have benefited from it extremely. And I know a lot of people that do it and they say the same thing. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey Brady, man, we've been talking for a little while. We've covered a lot of things. Is there anything else that's kind of top of your mind that you think people should be aware of before we sign off for the night?
I got one thing for sure. I might come up with two, just because if those who don't know me, Logan, I don't know if you talk about Toastmasters ever, but the only way and reason why I'd be sitting down to do this podcast is because you got me involved with Toastmasters and made me confident enough to speak in front of people. And even knowing that I'm not speaking in front of anybody, I'm speaking to you, but I know that people are going to listen can make a guy nervous. So my question to you is, what have you learned in your process of starting your Domesticated Dude podcast?
Oh, man.
I'll break it down. I'll make it more specific for you. Go with something that has happened or that you've learned that you didn't know that you were going to learn or you didn't expect to learn. And then what has been harder than you thought?
I've really enjoyed our group and really feel like we talk about having places to be a soundboard and to be kind of a safe space, if you will. And Toastmasters is that for me, where I'm able to, that's one of the reasons why I felt confident enough to do this thing, is because of being in Toastmasters for 5 years or so. Shout out to Steve Bowles. I don't know if you're listening, but he's the one who got me involved in all of that at the very beginning. So I'm glad that that's kind of carrying on. And, anyway, yes. Yeah, so doing this podcast, I am a huge perfectionist and I hate the sound of my own voice, right? I'm a newspaper journalist by trade. And every time I would record an interview, I would hear my voice and I'm just like, oh, no. Ugh, it's like nails on a chalkboard. But at a certain point, you just have to get over it, right? You have to say, well, I don't like the sound of my own voice, but that's not why we're here. Right? We're here to share your story. We're here to share other people's stories. and really to let others know who are our age or maybe a little bit older that we're going through a lot of the same things. We're experiencing a lot of the same things. And I feel like there's not a lot of podcasts out there that just have dudes, right? We have like Joe Rogan and Dax Shepard and like all these high level celebrities interviewing other high level celebrities. Cool. There are lessons to be learned there. But what I really thought was we can learn stuff from our friends. And for me, I've always enjoyed spending time with my friends. I've always had friends who have always been a little bit older than me. So being able to just kind of sit and hear them talk and all of that through their experiences. And I, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. Just kind of wrote it off. But now I'm in my early to mid 30s and I'm like, holy shit, there's a lot of stuff out there that I wish I knew. And so that's this podcast. And I think being able to learn from other people is really valuable. And sure, you can learn from celebrities and all this stuff, but I'd rather learn from my buddies, you know? And if I can share something that resonates with them and helps them in their life, hey man, I've succeeded, you know? So that's something that I really found that I learned about myself with this podcast is that I had to just let go. I had to stop worrying about every breath or every word or, you know, all these little details that I go through in the editing process. It doesn't matter, right? What matters is the content and that the content is there. And so that's something that I've really learned about this. And the other side of it is people are willing to share. They're willing to share their stories. They're willing to come on here and take the journey with me because it's different, right? It's completely different from what we're used to. We're not as regular people. We're not used to recording conversations and then sharing them out to literally the entire planet. And what I've been most impressed with are my buddies who have come on here and willingly done that. And it just means so much to me that you and them are able to kind of block out any negative thoughts and just come on and do it. Because at the end of the day, it's a conversation, right? It's a conversation with friends. And so, yeah, there's a lot that I've learned. And I know that it hasn't been every single week like I set out that I was going to do. But you know what? If I can get an episode here, an episode there, it's still accomplishing the goal.
Absolutely. Cool, man. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Pretty fun to listen to. And some of the episodes that you've had have been really, really fun to listen to.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that a lot. It's been a lot of fun to put together and just a learning process. You know, it's fun to learn new things and learn a new skill. And who knows, maybe someday this will be the full-time job and that would be amazing.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Shoot for the stars.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
So then my final question of the evening is, since you've been doing the interviewing, is what kind of vacation are you looking forward to as soon as you're able to take a vacation?
I don't really know. I've never been one to say, oh, I have to go here and I have to do this and I have to go to this place. Like, yeah, there are places out there that would be cool to explore, but what I look forward to in a vacation is being able to turn my email off, turn my Slack notifications off, and just go explore a new place with Sarah. And I don't care where it is. We've already done a little bit of traveling. Probably three, 4 weeks ago, we went to Kansas City, stayed in an Airbnb, and It was really nice because we got to get out of town for a little while. We got to see a new spot. We went to this really cool coffee shop that was in a greenhouse and we bought a bunch of plants. We bought like $100 worth of plants. Like, leave it to us millennials to go on vacation and buy some plants and bring them home. But no, it's just stuff like that I really enjoy. It's seeing new places. So I guess my answer would be wherever we can go safely and just explore and hang out. That's that's what I want to do. How about you? Let's flip the table. Where would you want to go?
Oh boy. I have one place that I want to go. I have someone special to me that is living across the pond right now in the Middle East, in the United Arab Emirates. So I would like to hop on a plane and go to Abu Dhabi. I've never been across the pond. I've been to Mexico, I've been to Canada, but I've never really left the continent. So as soon as things are able and safe, I would like to make that trip and see what some other cultures like, some other completely different place. So the pictures have been they've been amazing. So it'd be just different to see an entirely new world than what I'm used to. It would be pretty wild.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know that, man. That's really cool. And if you do that, you know that we're going to have to do this again, because yeah. I want to hear all about that, because that sounds incredible. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming on, spending some time with me tonight. I really appreciate it. This has been a blast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Logan. I really appreciate it, man.
Of course. Anytime. We'll do it again, I'm sure.
Okay. Sounds good. Whenever you want.
Deal. Deal. All right, Brady. Take care, man. I'll see you soon.
Yeah. See you, Logan.